coffee, and no, you're good, you're good. We got coffee for all children. Coffee, hot coffee. Raise your hand if you love hot coffee. Yes, yes, yes. Jenny, you're going to love it. You'll grow up one day. Yes. Hot coffee? Have you had some this morning?
I was on.
Whatever. How many of you love Mountain Dew? Okay, yeah, yeah. We're going to have Mountain Dew on tap here one day. It's a goal of this church is to have Mountain Dew on tap. So church, we got a classroom for all these children to be in, go to. Teachers who have spent a little bit of time trying to understand a lesson that these children might take a hold of. And they've given their time and their effort to be in those classrooms. If that's something that you would like to do, I wish you'd contact this church and say you would help teach those. Those lessons back there are in the rooms. You can get a hold of it. But what I'm trying to say is we got a space for children to get a hold of Jesus in a way that they'll savvy. I use a lot of giant church words out here, so they really don't savvy me too much. Except for the youngest. Are you cold, man? You're freezing cold. Huh? You got it. So we're going to let them go back to them warm classrooms. Church, would you pray with me? As we pray for those teachers, we pray for those classrooms, we pray for the Holy Spirit of God to overwhelm this place. Lord Jesus, we just ask you this morning that you would share your hope, your truth, your love with these children in a way that will change their lives forever. Lord, we just ask for your blessing. We're grateful for your mercy and your love. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. 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 All right, everybody's got to go to the back. Hey, get you a cup of coffee on the way out. Here, you want to hold this cup of coffee?
No.
It's warm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, if children could figure out that coffee is a necessity. I'm almost positive I put my jacket on the other side. I did? Oh.
Couldn't see Jerry.
Oh, I follow you. You couldn't see Jerry? Is that an issue? No, yeah. Stuff like that. Anyway, I should pray before I speak more. Oh, there's so much to go on here. And I'm going to be honest with you. You think being a preacher is easy. It ain't. I get all the time I'm overwhelmed. I'm in the Word. I'm trying to find out what God's doing and where He's leading me and how to. And I get so convicted of me. I believe I struggle with the reality that I don't really understand how sinful I really am. I think I get over my sin too easy. Last week we were talking about seek ye first, where Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom and all the other stuff, all the stuff we worry about, I'll give you. It'll happen. It's part of the system that the sovereign God of creation has put in place. But then I get in the way of that. I get to thinking how smart I am. Has anybody ever been water skiing? Raise your hand. Has anybody ever held onto the rope way too long? Only one. So everybody knows with that water rushing down your throat, through your nose, blasting out your ears. It's like, because somehow you think, dang, if I just hold on, I'll be able to get my feet underneath of me. And that's a lie, right? And the boat just keeps going faster. Finally, somebody in the boat just stops because they know I'm drowning. So that's me thinking, I got a shot at this. I got a chance at this. I can make this work. So we go to the pasture. We go to catch cows. And it's a little jailbreak. And we got to run after something. There's three or four cowboys going after the same one. And that first cowboy rides up there and he ropes and he misses, but he just stays right there. Well, that kind of shuts me out. If the cow is going to get caught, he needs to pull out right away. Let somebody else ride up there, you know. But he's rebuilding and just shaping up. It don't happen too much because I don't hire them boys twice. I hire good cowboys who catch the first time. But anyhow, at the end of the day, the idea is if you're thinking, if you're really doing things right, if you're doing things like ought to be done, then you pull out. You let go of the rope. You make the adjustment. And the truth is, that's me and you somehow being aware of what's required of us. Not me thinking I know what's required of me, but me understanding my purpose. What's going on now? What do I need to do? How does this go? And being aware of that in a way that I let that change how I'm doing things. I recognize to turn loose of the rope instead of drowning. And so this whole seek ye first business is really convicted me of a lot. And so I want to go back to Matthew chapter 6 in your Bibles. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. If you ain't got a Bible, poke your hand up, because we buy these rascals by the truckload. And it's so important that you have it. We put the words up there. We put the Bible verses at the end of the day. We put all the Bible verses up there. So even if you miss something, you could just write all the Bible verses down. We just leave them up so you know where we've been. You could go back and check. And you should. Because I feel like I'm going to steer you straight. I don't think I want to drive off in the ditch, but you and I need to be on the same page, reading the same words, seeing the same things. So in Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to be in the 19th verse, there's something going on here where Jesus is talking, and there's something going on that's really kind of boogered me. So I want to read the whole thing here real quick. It says, Jesus said, "Don't store up your treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves can break in and steal it. Store your treasures up in heaven where moths and rust can't destroy and where thieves don't break in. And wherever your treasure is, there the desire of your heart will also be." He said, "Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your whole body. And when your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think that you have is actually darkness, how really deep is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. You'll hate one, love the other, or you'll be devoted to one, despise the other. You can't serve both God and money." Here's what I want to say. So at the heading of that, it says Jesus is teaching about money. But I want to say that let's don't get stuck on this thing, because the truth is there's something spiritual going on here. Jesus is teaching about something spiritual. It's easy to put money in there, something that gets in the way. But this is a spiritual lesson Jesus wants you and I to get a hold of, to take a hold of. And the truth of that is there has to be some spiritual direction in our lives. We're all here this morning because we feel like we have some spiritual direction in our life. And you might leave out of here and think, well, that ain't the church for me. That spiritual direction doesn't seem right. But I pray that you go to another church. Right? That you stay involved. That you keep seeking. But here's our thing. Is that we need to be guided. And the Holy Spirit of God living in every born-again believer will guide us. But we have to be discerning enough to kind of catch that, see? And so in verse 19, when it said, "Don't store up your treasures on earth where moths and rust destroy and eat thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where all that stuff can't happen." Remember, where your treasure is, there your heart is. That's pretty profound. So many of us, we think that somehow we can separate that. See, here and now, in this life, I spend a lot of time looking after me, the things that I want, the way that I want. I pursue that, and that's not necessarily kingdom work. And then somehow I'll justify my behavior thinking that at the end it kind of is kingdom work. I'm kind of But the truth is, I get caught up in me. And I think a lot of us get caught up in us. And somehow we're trying to figure out how we can justify this and keep moving forward. Because I tell myself, I love to go to church on Sunday, but I really don't do anything else about my faith. And there's much more to do about my faith. Church on Sunday is a great place to start, but it can't be the way that you live your life of faith. There's got to be more to it, right? And if I start to realize that, then I start to realize eternity. And that's what kind of Jesus is talking about here. He said, if my mind and my focus is on what I need here, what I'd like to have here, what I'd like to see here, what I'd like to grasp here, for me, I'm missing something. He said, don't store up my treasures here, but store them up in heaven. Be about some kingdom work. Be about helping other people just like they have helped me. And people who have helped me without ever realizing it, because they've just been about the kingdom. Because they've just been about seek ye first. Because God led them to do or to say or to be somewhere. And they were obedient to do it. It's such a struggle for me. The really truth is that I'm so easily distracted by my selfish needs that I'm not very kingdom first. Not very seek ye first. I'm mostly about, what do I need? I've been talking all morning about I ain't going back out till spring. And I pray God honors that, but he won't. I'm going to have to go out tomorrow and the next day. But I'm thinking about me. I'm thinking about how much I suffer in the cold and how I hate that and how I despise that. Because I'm thinking about me. And I'm not considering the reality that what if God leads me to a person or to somebody who has a real need that I can reach, touch, fulfill, do with. But I don't want to. Because it's cold outside. I struggle with that. But here's where I want to get to. In 22, Jesus said, your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. And when your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. This is some spiritual metaphor. Metaphor. I didn't just make that word up. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light that I think that I have is actually darkness, how really deep is that darkness? Think with me for a minute. How can my eye be bad? How can I not be letting in light? Here I am in church. What do I have to do for my eye to be bad? What has to happen? I'm a believer. I read the Bible. I pray. What's going on that my eye would be bad? And this metaphor is that like where my treasure is, there my heart will be. What I spend my time looking at, pursuing, thinking about, seeing, that's going to dominate my spirit, my heart. And if I spend time in the Word, if I spend time in the Word and in prayer, if the music that I listen to is wholesome and godly, and can I tell you that there's not a lot of that that's not Christian music. Oh, there's some great songs that speak about great things that aren't necessarily immoral or impure, but the majority of it is. And then we want to listen to that. You know why we want to listen to that? Now, this ain't your eye, that's your ear. But we want to listen to it because that reminds me of the fun I had. That reminds me of that one time down in Mexico That's the sin in my life, rearing up. That's the darkness in me that wants to make light, that wants to make little out of what God's done in my life. I want to pursue a little bit of that darkness. You ever feel that? You ever think to yourself, it ain't so bad. That's not, I can listen to that and get by the words. It don't really hurt me. How many of us cuss? Cows make me cuss. Actually, almost anything makes me cuss. And I hate that about me. I wish that I had such a pursuit of godly things that my heart was so right, that there was so much light in me that when that cuss word was rearing up, instead of me spitting it out, I caught myself. But you know, I hardly ever do. I'll cuss and then I'll ask God to forgive me because I hate the way I feel about being disobedient like that. But what I'm saying is, what I've allowed into me is coming out of me. What my eyes have seen is coming out of me. And I spend so much time worried about me, thinking about me, that I miss this part where Jesus said, "But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And the light that you think you have is actually darkness." How deep is that? I live there. I think I've got right theology. I got right thinking. But I compartmentalize that. Do you? You think you can put this over here and then have your spiritual life over here? Do you think that you can separate the two? That sin ain't so bad. That corruption, that junk ain't as terrible as everybody thinks it is. So I could put up with it a little bit because I live in the world. It's not like I could escape it. But that's different than me tuning into it. That's different. Living in the world, living in a sinful, broken world is different than me putting that radio on that station, putting the TV on that station, watching that movie, listening to that, behaving like that. That's me choosing. That's not me overcoming the world. That's me being a part of the world, participating in the world. How dark is the darkness, he said. And the point that I think Jesus is making is that we don't disassociate ourselves from this world in that way. If we see it, if we participate in it, if we speak it, if we hold it in our hands, if we play around in it, if we're in the neighborhood of it, we're letting darkness overwhelm the light that's in us. We're slowly easing the light away because we love the darkness. We can't disassociate ourselves from it. There's not a place where I get to say, "Oh, Lord, you created me in this old broken world. You understand me." He does understand me. And what he don't understand is why I'm not making every effort to be holy as he is holy. That's what the word says. I read it. Did you read that? When Jesus says, "Seek ye first the kingdom," he's talking about you and I pursuing righteousness and holy. Oh, those are giant church words, but they mean seeking the things of God. Why don't we get there? What keeps me from doing that? Me? So here's how Jesus finishes up this little section. He says in 24, he said, "No one can serve two masters." No one. Not some people, not in any way. No one can serve two masters. You'll hate one, love the other, or you'll be devoted to one, despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. Here's what I think is the point of this. That you can't serve two masters. That doesn't imply that you can't have a couple of jobs, that you can't have a few bosses. If you've got three jobs and you go put your hours in, you do great at every one of those jobs, You get your paycheck. You're doing great. You're serving those bosses. You're serving those jobs. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not what Jesus is saying here. You can't serve two masters. He's implying that I'm a slave. Literally. That I'm a slave. That either I am going to... Because being a master implies, and a sovereign God of creation who created me and you, it implies that he has authority and rule over me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Not while I'm on the clock. Not while I'm at rest. Not while I'm busy. That 24/7, my Lord and Master has authority over me. Has authority over you. It never ends. There's not a place where he says, okay, you do what you want for a minute. I'm going to go fishing. There's never a time when he says, you just go on about your own business and see what it is. The authority that God wields over his children is all good. It's his way of leading me into the purpose that he created me for. The place where I'm going to be best used, best served, best, the happiest. I do not want to go to Zimbabwe and be a midwife for anybody. But what if God called me there? I'm going to tell you, the first thing I would do is want God to prove that to me. But after he did, because he would, I'd go. I can't fathom that I would love that. But I promise you, if God called me there when I got there, I would love that. It doesn't matter what God has called you and I to do, where he's called us to be, and the thing that he's gifted us to do. That's where we're the best. But it's me that gets in the way of that. It's the selfish me that gets in the way. It's me thinking that I can serve two masters, the world and the ruler of this world, who wants me to compromise, who wants me to allow and spend a little bit of time. It's not so terrible to watch that show. It's not so terrible to listen to that tune. It's not so terrible to have that idiot friend. Raise your hand if you have idiot friends. Put them down. This is being filmed. There's just not a place where I can serve two. There is a place where I can be committed to one. But as long as I'm kind of on this in-between where I feel like God understands me. He made me this way. He made me a dummy. He knows I cuss. He knows how I think. He knows where I'm going, what I'm doing. Of course he knows. But he's not okay with it. He doesn't give me a pass because I pastor a church. Because I'm saved. Because he likes me more than somebody else. He calls me to account. He said, you, Brett, cannot serve two masters. Make a choice. Stand up and be counted. I struggle. I spend a lot of my days in the world chasing stupid cows, doing stupid things with stupid people. But God's called me to be a light. To be a light in a dark place. And if that's in that pasture with those cowboys, that's what I got to do. If it's on the side of the road changing a tire, that's what I got to do. If it's driving through town, seeing people I know and stopping to visit, that's what I need to do. Where God has put me, every single time, I need to understand his purpose is for me to relate to somebody. He didn't save me because I'm so good looking, which is true. Ask her. He didn't save me because I've got super great skills that everybody else ain't got. He saved me because there's some people who I'm going to reach. He saved you because there's some people that you're going to reach. that you alone can touch, that you alone can affect. And he's called you to those people. Different times and different people and different things and different stages. All of that is true. But here's our issue, and here's where I want to get to. I got to keep moving. The Bible doesn't say having things, having material possessions is a terrible thing. It doesn't say that we're not supposed to take care of our families. It doesn't say just sit around and make God provide everything. The Bible literally says if you don't work, don't eat. If you read a little bit more in 6 there, Jesus says, look at the birds. They don't wake up every day talking about, oh, dang, what are we going to do now? All them buzzards just fly off, find them a roadkill, and go to eat. All them little sparrows hit the ground, they get busy about it. And God provides for them. But do you know that birds work? They plan for the future. Those birds, they build a nest. They figure they're going to raise babies. So they go build them a nest. They find them a mate. They put effort in. But you know what they don't do? They ain't anxious about it. They don't have anxiety talking about, oh, there's 6 eggs in there. How are we going to do this? They don't wake up every day talking about, dang, where are we going to get something to eat? They just get up. And unconsciously, they fulfill God's purpose for their life. Every one of them. Jesus said, look at the flowers. Man, they don't wake up every day and talk about, dang, it's sure hot, it's sure cold, it's sure wet. They just do what they do. You know what flowers do? They work at putting on a bloom. That's it. Jesus says, and even Solomon, the richest, most opulent, most splendid person that had ever existed, wasn't dressed like one of these flowers. Now, they just wake up every morning and they get about what God's called them to do. Work at blooming where you are. That's the truth. But what this is all about is, do you and I seek first the kingdom? Or do I get busy about me? What I want to do. Here's what I want to do, Lord. This is how I'm going to serve you. This is my best effort to serve you, Lord. If just slam the door if you don't want me to. Is me being about what I want, not being obedient to what God wants me to do. You know what I'm talking about, too. We think that we're so smart that God has given me this, so that's what I'm going to do. And we don't think about praying about it because I'm smart already, God. You know, you want me to have 1,000,000 horses. You want me to have that new truck. You want me to buy that land. You want me to build a bigger house. You want me to have more than they do. But that's just not true. He doesn't mind that I have material possessions. He doesn't mind that I have horses, but he figures I ought to use my horses generously to serve the kingdom. He doesn't mind if I got money in my pocket, but he figures I ought to use my money generously to serve the kingdom. He doesn't mind that I have a big 1,000-acre ranch, but he figures I ought to use it generously to serve the kingdom. But how many of us pursue what we want so that I can look out across there, talk about, look what I got? I'm just being honest with me. I pray you're honest with you. God's not about raining on anybody's parade. Jesus says you can't serve two masters. You see, the truth is, we can't be humble and greedy at the same time. We can't lust and love at the same time. I'm no more able to look up and down at the same time than I am to walk east and west at the same time. And all that points to the reality of, what do I do when I get started in the morning? What do I do with my day? What do you do with you? Seek ye first. Pursue kingdom pursue godly, pursue holy and righteous? Or do I pray and then get started with what I want to do? Pursue me. Pursue a better, more, because I think I need it. I know for a fact that when I look in my checkbook, how many of you still have a checkbook? I do. But when I look at my bank account, I realize where my treasure is, what I spend my money on. Does it look like kingdom work to you? Does it look like we're helpful, that we're given, that we're generous, that we're doing? Or are we taking care of ourselves? Pursuing the things that I'd like to have, setting me up for the future. Look at the birds. They don't wake up every day anxious about how it's going to turn out. They just wake up every morning and get started doing what they do, fulfilling God's purpose. They don't know different. And when it's over, it's over. Can't serve two masters is the biggest, most important thing that I think I've been struggling with this year because of my own heart's desire to be godly. Pursuing the Bible, I see in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, here's what Paul said. Don't you realize that you have become a slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave of sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Well, thank God you once were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching that we've given you. And now you're free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. I love that. Because of the weakness of my human nature, I'm using the illustration of slavery to help me understand all this. Previously, we let ourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led to deeper into sin. And now you must give yourselves to be slaves of righteous living so that you have become holy. Truer words have never been spoken in Scripture. Except, will I? When we were slaves to sin, we were free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? We were ashamed of the things that we used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But now you're free from the power of sin and have chosen to become slaves of God. And now do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin are death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. But the Scripture is so full of that kind of truth, we got to slow down to recognize it, to read it. And so trot to your left to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. Here's what Paul said. So whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Don't give offense to the Jews or Gentiles or the church of God. I, too, try to please everyone in everything I do. I don't just do what's best for me. I do what is best for others so that many may be saved. You have a role in the salvation of humanity. You have a role. We have a part to play. And Paul goes on to say in Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 11. Paul said, not that I was ever in need, for I've learned how to be content with whatever I got. Oh, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full belly or empty, with plenty or with little. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If I'm about kingdom work, not if I'm about me. Oh, I can do all that I want to do. God never slams the door. He said, go on, you stupid old rascal. Go on. If that's what you want to do, You'll learn. But if I pursue, if I do all things through Christ who strengthens me, if I would pursue and seek ye first the kingdom, all of this life would be added to me. The glory, the grace, the mercy, the love, the ability to give would be added to me. My prayer is that we, God's people, would somehow come to a place in our life and a time when we seek ye first the kingdom all the time. Not just when I'm in a foxhole. Not just when I'm in trouble. Not just when I'm in need. Not just when everything hit the fan. But because I'm alive. But because God alone, the sovereign God of creation, has given me a purpose. And if I would seek God and His purpose, I'm way better. I'm happier. I love. I give. I'm generous. Seek ye first. I pray we learn that. Pray with me, church. Pray with me as we find our footing in 2025. A place, a way for us to be different than we've been. Lord Almighty, Creator of the universe, how many times have I read your word and just kept on going instead of slowing down to dwell on what it means for my eye to be bad, what it means to seek first, what it means that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lord, I pray that I would slow down, that I would somehow come to grasp and understand and relate to the truth that you have a plan. I was created for a purpose. And that it's just me that gets in the way of that. And for me to be contented with the place in life where you have me doesn't mean that I don't need a job. Doesn't mean that I can just trust you to take care of my family while I lay around the house. But that I get up every day and I go be about your business. And while I work, I'm hopeful. And when I meet people, I'm gracious. And that as I'm moving through this world, I'm generous. And that as I see people in need, and I see their hurt, and I see their shame or their fear, that I can be hopeful. That I can be all things to all people. I thank you for your love and your grace, your mercy, and I pray a blessing on all of us this morning who can hear this word. And I pray this in Jesus' name, on His very authority. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Amen.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I laid my worries down, glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I laid my worries down, I feel better, so much better. Since I laid my worries down, oh, I feel better. So much better since I laid my worries down. I'm on my way to that great city. Since I laid my worries down, I'm on my way. I'm on my way to that great city. Since I laid my worries down. I'm on my way. To that great city. Since I laid my worries down, I'm on my way. To that great city. Since I laid my worries down. Oh, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Since I laid my worries down. Hallelujah, since I laid my worries.